Damo, how are
hey,
you?
Not bad, how are you?
Pretty good. Damian Edwards, we are here in your very zen-like office in Building 42. What is this sun that is running in the corner here?
It's my ambient lighting.
Very nice. So what do you got to show me today?
We've been working on, you would have seen the recent Web Matrix beta that went out from the web group here. I'm working the team that is doing the Visual Studio tooling for some of the components that make up Web Matrix.
Okay.
So the three major things in Web Matrix that you would have seen Scott Guthrie blog about prior to that were IIS Express, SQL CE4, and the new Razor syntax for ASP.NET.
Okay.
So we're actually building the Visual Studio support for those three things.
Okay, so when you say tooling, that means things that plug into Visual Studio, so menus and dialog boxes.
Editors and the project system updates and things like that to support those components.
I think probably people take that for granted.
I think they do. Yeah. It's quite a lot of work involved, especially when you talk about things like a new web server involving IIS Express.
All right, well, show me a lot of work then.
So we've got some early builds going on here. Let me show you the new open website dialog.
Oh my goodness, it's amazing.
It's incredible.
Is this it? Are we done yet?
So this is it.
Wow.
So you can now see I've got IIS Express sites.
That's a huge letdown. I was expecting some animation or something.
Yeah, no, it's still Visual Studio.
Okay, so wait a second. It says IIS, you must be an admin, which you're not.
That's right.
But IIS Express, you don't have to be an admin.
That's correct.
That's cool.
So that's one of the big changes. Previously, you have to be an admin to even open a project that's hosted on IIS,
so you
don't debug it or anything. So now, in today's build of Visual Studio 2010, if you open this dialog, you just get a gray box that says you have to be an admin to do anything with IIS. Now in IIS Express, at least, you can use IIS Express's features without being an admin.
Now, you said today's build. Is this just a plug-in? I mean, this is not a service pack, right?
There will be an update to Visual Studio later in the year to enable this.
Okay.
To enable this.
Is it going to be a scary update that I'm going to be afraid to run?
We'll find out.
All right. Okay, so what else we got?
So some of the new things we can do, we can create new root sites. So the button up in the top right-hand corner here, previously you were able to create new web applications and new VDOs, but we can now create new websites as well.
All right.
So I click that and I come back down here, I can say yes, or this is my great website, and this is on IIS Express.
What port does that run on?
So this will pick a random ephemeral port, and ephemeral port is one above 1024.
Okay.
And so if we look down here, you'll see that there's a little label now that tells me what the URL is for the currently selected
node. All right.
So I can see my new website just got created on port 59481.
All right.
And if I wanted to, I could go ahead and create subfolders and sub-apps and that type of thing if I wanted to, but I'm just going to go ahead and create an app in the root of this new site.
Okay. Now, can I have port 80?
Maybe. But we're still determining whether you'll be able to have port 80. Port 80 is an interesting one because of the admin, non-admin issue.
Mm.
Because IIS Express actually sits on top of HTTP.sys, so that's the kernel mode driver that facilitates web requests inside Windows and IIS uses it as well. To make a registration with that driver, you have to be an admin for certain types of ports. And that's why it's an ephemeral port, because you don't need to be an admin to take a registration of that type of port.
For
port 80, unfortunately, you do.
Okay.
So I'm going to go ahead and open that new site now. And nothing else here is particularly different. You'll see now that my solution has a website project in it called localhost 59481. Okay. If you've used IIS today, it's now going to be a very similar experience to what you would have had using IIS. So all the features that you're used to, the way this project communicates with IIS and whatnot, is very similar to the way it
But where's the folder? Because I know that when I talk to people and I do polls, they tell me that they always like to work with IIS. And that's why you're doing IIS Express.
Yep.
I hate working with IIS because I'm always confused about, are the files in my on my desktop or in my dev folder, or are they in IIS, and what's the relationship?
So using the workflow that I just showed you, where I use the site picker to create me a site asking me where it went, it's just going to go into my IIS Express sites folder. So if I go into my documents, when you actually install Web Matrix, if I go into documents and my documents, what we'll see is there's a my websites folder. And this was created when I installed Web Matrix, and you can see that the Migrate website folder appears in there because I used that new site icon in that dialog that was seen previously.
I assume I can move that around.
You can move that around, obviously, if you want to. You would have to go into Web Matrix, and you could go into Web Matrix and manually create a new site and have the control of where the folder is and what.
And you keep saying Web Matrix, though. Do I have to have Web Matrix on my machine to use IIS Express? Really?
Yes.
Well, that's a bummer.
Web Matrix and IIS Express are one and the same thing at the moment.
Because a lot of people have been asking, do I get to download IIS Express separately?
Well, we're still in beta 1, so part of beta 1 is getting feedback on various elements.
So people who are listening, put feedback on the forums or in the comments of this blog if you like it one way or the other.
This is right.
And Damo will get this information.
This is right, absolutely.
Okay.
So that's where it is now. And then from this point on, things are pretty much the same as they would be normally. Looks like I created an empty item here, so I'm just going to go ahead and add a... We'll just add a web form here. I'll add a default.aspx.
Poor man's screencast here.
Yeah, very poor man's screencast. Okay.
Okay, give me
a... And I'll go to a code behind. I've got a VB file here. And...
Give me some control scroll love here. This is too small.
Okay, we'll control scroll in here.
There we go.
And we'll just override... now, this is VB. I've got to put my VB hat on. Overloads? No.
Overrides.
Being too...
You didn't mean to get BB, did you?
I didn't mean to hit BB at all.
All right.
Page underscore. We'll just do onload. That'll be an easy way of doing it. Okay.
That's and we'll onload complete. That's different, but okay.
Oh, that'll get hit. That's all we really care about. And let's just dim something in here. Oh, look, I'm even putting semicolons in the end. I'm going to stick a breakpoint.
Well, you know, you can do that actually in visual. You go like this.
Look at that. Nice. That's a new feature, right?
Yeah, it is.
Absolutely.
Makes people feel comfortable.
So I should now be able to hit F5. And hoping this build is all working. As it
build
should
website. So okay, so where's IIS going to pop? Is it going to pop up somewhere?
Yep, so this is just the standard, I have to create a web.config file to enable debugging. So yep, okay, go ahead and do that. And what we're going to see now is this is going to spin up much like it would today for Cassini, or the Visual Studio Web Development Server. So if the process isn't already running, we will go ahead and start IIS Express for you, which has just happened. It's launched the browser at that URL. And here
so
it
where
is
it? Point. Where is IIS Express? Is
so
it IIS
Express down, it should be down here. It is here. So IIS Express is now a little icon in my notification area.
Okay, this is not a service. If I look in services,
that's
dot
correct.
Whatever, it's not there.
This is just a process that's running as me.
So this is good for developers that... Maybe you're being locked down by IT, the corporate IT. They don't want IIS on the machine.
Yep, or perhaps you're not allowed to run as an administrator.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So this means I can do this stuff entirely as non-administrator.
Once it's been installed, if it's part of your standard operating environment or something like that, you don't need to be an admin to create a site or to debug or anything.
Okay,
like
just
that.
To make sure I get the feedback from the audience, though, you do have to install WebMatrix.
You have to install WebMatrix.
Unless they say otherwise in the comments, and somehow the message gets back to the
That's
bosses.
Right. And even if you had to install IIS Express as a standalone, you still need to be an admin.
But at least it'd be
that.
Separate. What about SQL Express? Is that its own thing too?
That will be available separately. SQL CE4, you mean, or SQL Express?
Oh, sorry, yeah, SQL CE, SQL Compact
CE4
Edition.
Will be available as a separate.
So we got Compact Edition, we got Razor,
yes.
Syntax, which we'll talk about, and
yes.
we've got
IIS Express.
And then the tooling to support all of
That's
that.
That's correct.
All right, cool.
Okay. So now we can see my breakpoint's been hit. I've got my IntelliTrace goodness that's working over the side here.
Mm-hmm. So everything works as before.
Everything works as before, but now I'm on IIS Express.
And IIS Express is good because it's really IIS, right? It's not...
Yeah, so it's built the same building blocks as IIS. So as I said before, we have HTTP sys, which is the kernel mode driver, which sits at the bottom that actually accepts these HTTP requests.
Mm-hmm.
But then we actually now have IIS, basically what is built using IIS, or the core of IIS 7.5, is now... a standalone process, IIS Express, which is basically having its request fed off HTTP sys into this process here. Now this process is running as me. It's not running as a network service or some type of other network service account. So because it's running as me, I can debug this process without having to be an administrator. The reason you have to be an administrator to debug IIS is because it's actually running as a different user. So in Vista and Windows 7, you can't have this cross-process debugging communication going on between processes owned by different people.
And I can use it not just for ASP.NET, but WCF and other crazy stuff.
Exactly.
So.
Yep,
so if I ever got into a situation where I had to use IIS,
yes.
I can probably use IIS Express now.
Probably. I mean, there are some caveats, like SharePoint won't be supported on IIS Express with this release, obviously.
Supported? Or it'll work, but we can't tell you it'll work? So
I'm not even
going
to say whether it will work or not.
We're
not
okay.
even looking at whether that would work as well.
Yeah. Okay. What else we got?
So let's close that one off, and we'll look at some of the other features that we've got. So that's IIS Express in a nutshell. We can go ahead and add a new item to this project.
Oh, well, hang on. I forgot to ask you. How do I switch back and forth?
Oh, okay.
Because so, you're doing tooling, right? So I must be a way that I can tell Visual Studio not for this project.
Yeah. So at the moment, it's on a per project basis. So
Oh, that's cool.
As a web developer in Visual Studio, you have two project systems to choose from. You have the what we just showed you there, which is the website project system, which we introduced with Visual Studio 2005. And then we have the traditional web application project system, or the WAP project system, which is where I go file new project and then choose the web subcategory.
Okay, so if I understand, that's like you have a CS proj or a VB proj, that's a web project,
yes.
Or you just have a folder.
I just have a folder, exactly. All right. What I just showed you here was the folder-based thing,
okay.
Except rather than having a disk path as the path.
So how did it know? Where's the file that told it IIS Express should open this and not Cassini?
So we actually, that's stored in the solution file. So now that I've gone ahead and created, there's a flag in the solution file that says, for this project, this website folder, or this path, I intend for you to use IIS Express rather than IIS. Mm. Now, that said, we have actually done work to ensure that round-tripping with people who don't have
That was my question. What happens if I give it to my friend who doesn't have it?
And it'll treat it like IIS. So the URL is stored in the machine in here just like it would be for IIS, and it'll open as an IIS.
So if I have all three, I can use all three?
Yes, absolutely.
All right, cool. Because, you know, I just want to make sure you're not moving my cheese.
We've gone to great lengths to ensure your cheese is untouched.
All right, brilliant.
Yeah. So some of the other things, we have a new toolbar. If we look up here, we've integrated the web platform installer into Visual Studio as part of this tooling that we're doing. So this is a install web components button with a little web PI logo there. Now, the button itself is fairly dumb. It literally just launches WebPI if you have it, or otherwise it'll kick you off to the page to download WebPI if you don't.
Okay.
But we've actually integrated this with the project system. So if you're given a project by someone else that is using components that are in WebMatrix but you don't have them installed yet,
mm-hmm.
So perhaps it's configured for IIS Express or it's using the Razor syntax, has some CSHTML files, we'll throw up a dialogue that says, hey, you're missing some web components, do you want to download and install them using
WebPI?
Cool.
That's nice.
So then it'll go ahead and do that for you.
All right, that's cool.
So that's kind of cool. I can go ahead now and add a SQL CE file to this project. If I scroll down and see if I can find. So we've got here the original SQL Server database. This is a SQL Server Express MDF file.
Okay.
And this is the new one, a SQL CE4 local database. This is an SDF file.
Mm.
So I can go ahead and add this to my project.
Now how come it didn't go into an app data folder?
Because I am a bad boy. I'm going to do that. Now, for WAPs, that will
so
do
we,
that.
We just found a bug. You should fix
we probably
that.
Just found
you
a bug.
You should totally fix that.
You should totally fix that, yes.
Awesome. You heard it here first, Channel 9.
This is a very, very early build.
Fantastic.
So if I double-click on that now, what we'll see...
I felt like such a man. I'm not your manager, but I just felt like a manager suddenly. Just felt like a suck at
that. Just a second.
You should fix that.
You should. Your valued feedback is much
yes.
valued. And over here in Server Explorer now, I have my database.sdf. And I could go ahead and continue to use all of the SQL Server-esque tooling that exists today in Visual Studio.
So does Server Explorer even know that this is its own thing? Or is
it certainly
just...
does. So there's been work done to enable the providers and whatever is necessary to make it work in this tree.
And these work with Link to SQL and Entity Framework and all that
stuff. So Link to SQL is not supported with SQL CE4, but certainly Entity Framework is fully supported, and including the design surface for building Entity models.
What about like in Hibernate, stuff like that?
That's definitely in the matrix of being testing. So
all right, cool.
Being tested, so that should definitely
good.
Work.
Well, no Link to SQL is a bummer, but
Hibernate
is kind of a win, though.
And Hibernate is pretty cool.
Yeah, all right, cool.
So that's SDF in its simplest form. I mean, we also obviously have, if you're a web forms developer and you use data sets or you use SQL data source control and the associated designers and wizards along with those things, they've all been updated to support SQL CE4 as well.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So most of the scenarios that exist today with SQL Server Express MDF files will work with SDF files.
So from if I have an existing app, just change the connection string and it'll be fine?
With some caveats. So we're still doing some work to enable some other scenarios, things like building new providers for membership and profiles and roles and things like that. And we're still making decisions out of which ones of those scenarios we're going to support.
So that kind of sucks from your perspective as a developer working on the tooling, because you're saying that if all of the hard work that you do works, no one will notice anything.
That's pretty much right. Yeah. So it's not like we have some great new features and new dialogues.
Yeah, but success is marked by you not...
Yeah.
No one knowing that
no
you
one
exist.
Knowing that anything really has changed. So that said,
sorry, dude.
What we have done quite a bit of work on is the editor to enable the Razor syntax.
All right.
Now, I don't have templates for this yet, so I'm just going to fake it. So what I'm going to do is go ahead and add, and I can do this because of the way Visual Studio works. I'm going to add my fake ASPX page to this project, and I'm just going to go ahead and rename it to be a CSHTML file, even though I'm in a VB project. So I'm going to call this home.cshtml.
And it's just because there's no templates in the file.
Oh, because we haven't done the work for the templates yet. Okay. So now we have, and I'm just going to delete this.
You just needed a text file, is what you're saying.
Yeah, I could have done that. So I'm going to delete the stuff that doesn't work with CSHTML. And now I should be able to use all of the Razor goodness. So if I come up the top and open a code block, you can see now I'm getting...
Oh, so I got there. You have syntax highlighting.
I have syntax highlighting. So I can now I can declare variables.
Do you have IntelliSense?
I do have IntelliSense. So let's have a look at that. So we, one of the things you would have seen, if I come down here, I can go start calling into one of the helpers, for instance. No, I haven't added the references to these. This isn't going to work. My demo isn't very well canned here.
I was just looking forward to an Australian saying Twitter.
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 That was the highlight of the entire talk.
Was it really?
I was waiting for that moment.
I do have another one here that is actually pre-canned, I think, that will work.
What do we say now? That it didn't work? Bollocks? Or what do we say?
Yeah, crikey.
Crikey, I've got Twitter.
So here we go. Here's the CSHTML one. So
okay, there you go.
So here we go. We can see that I can invoke IntelliSense on this.
And I'm going to watch you faking.
I'm going to watch me faking it.
Nope.
There. Oh, no, oh, now it's the magic going.
Oh, there
we go.
Goes. There we go.
And so we're getting our optional parameter list
That's
coming
up here.
That's
quite a big old tooltip there.
Well, yeah, because a lot of the APIs are using the new C# for optional parameters.
Mm.
So with the IntelliSense for that basically gives you all the possible parameters you could apply with the little square bracket around it to denote the fact that it's optional.
Okay, so we will have IntelliSense, and we will have tooltips and all that stuff.
We will have tooltips, and we're also building support for snippets as well. So you can see we've got the background being highlighted as a separate color as well. The reason we've done this is because the Plan 9, the Razor parser...
Ah, Plan 9, what's that?
Ah, you've caught me out. I've called it...
It's a code name within a code
name. It's an internal code name that should never, ever be heard outside
of
these
walls. All right, we won't call it that.
Because the Razor parser doesn't have a specific closing delimiter for certain types of code blocks, it can be difficult for the user when they're looking at the code to actually figure out where does this stop being code and start being markup again. And so this is a really good example of that on this line here, where I'm calling after this Twitter helper. I could start writing a markup here, and you can see that the color of that, if I control scroll into that a little bit and go across, you can see that
it knows.
It actually knows that this is markup. So I'm getting the little blue and the little F, the red F. But if I didn't have this background color here, it'd be difficult for me to see that as a developer.
Mm.
So we actually background color everything that the parser considers code for you. And that appears as a tools option font color that you can change so you can see what's code and what's
not. Now, before you worked for Microsoft, back when you had credibility, you were a pretty advanced guy and you worked on some pretty cool stuff. You worked in WebForms MVP.
Yes.
What do you think about people who are comparing Razor with Spark View Engine, which is another view engine that was an alternative?
Yes.
That takes a different style.
Yeah. So I haven't worked with Spark. What I know of it is it's more markup centric than what we have here with Razor. So the way that I think that we're saying is Razor is code focused.
Mm-hmm.
Razor is about making code. A nice flow between markup and code within your view engine.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, of what I've seen of Spark, it's very much around using markup sort of tags again to denote.
Does Louis sit on this floor? Maybe I'll go find him.
He is on this floor.
All right, I'll go find him
He's
after
on the
this.
Other side. Yeah.
All right, cool.
So everything you would expect to work with Razor syntax in the editor will continue to work. The HTML editor is actually a fairly complex beast just of the fact that it actually embeds a number of different languages.
Mm-hmm.
So if you consider that if you have a CSS file, you get CSS-specific IntelliSense and validation. If you have a JavaScript file, you get JavaScript-specific features, and so on for HTML. In an HTML file, you have all of those things plus server-side code.
Okay, hang on. So I can have HTML,
yes.
Inline JavaScript,
yes. Inline CSS.
Inline CSS.
And whatever the server side.
Yeah, BB or C#. and that JavaScript or CSS may be coming from other places, include files.
Exactly. And all this comes into the one editor to give you one experience inside of here.
So you have to not break that.
We have to not break that, exactly.
So that's your job, adding razor syntax without breaking everything else.
Exactly, exactly.
Sounds like there's going to be some pretty weird edge cases.
I certainly imagine there will be.
Very cool.
You'll be able to debug into this, obviously, set breakpoints in your markup where you've got code blocks and all that sort of thing.
Fantastic. Well, thanks so much for taking the time to chat with me today.
Thank you, Scott.
All right. I'm backing up.